WGXC underwriting support is provided by Homespun Occasions, Old Time Square and Contra Dancing with caller and live fiddle music for special events, community celebrations, and school programs. www.homespun.biz or 1-800-908-HOME.
Good afternoon, everybody, on this beautiful day. It's Friday, April 20th, and you're tuned in to WGXC 90.7 Afternoon Show with your host, Samir Ali Ged. And right now, I'm actually joined in the studio with Tom Bro, and Christina Malisoff, and Jack will be in later. In today's show, we're actually going to have an interview with Medea Benjamin, who's actually waiting on the line right now, a political activist and author, to discuss her new book, Drone Warfare. Later on, we'll also have Twitter trends, some music, media minutes, Amy Goodman, and more. But for now, let me hand it over to Tom and Christina, and they're going to bring our guest in.
Thank you, Samir. Thank you so much for giving us time on your show. I want to introduce Medea Benjamin. She is the co-founder of Code Pink, which we'll talk about in a moment, and a world-recognized anti-war activist. Medea Benjamin will be speaking this Sunday, April 22nd, at Emerson Hall, which is at 405 Washington Avenue, Albany, New York, at the First Universalist Unitarian Society of Albany. And we will give out the phone number again later, but she will be speaking from 11:45 a.m. until 1 p.m. The phone number for more information about this event is 463-7135, 518-463-7135. Medea will focus on the issue of international drone warfare proliferation and the increasing use of drones for surveillance nationally. It's right here at home, as well as internationally. This is the subject of her recent book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. We will also touch on a summit which she is organizing. She has called together a summit on the issue of drone proliferation and its implications for August 27th through 29th in Washington, D.C. And, of course, you can always go to the website codepink.org, which is a pretty amazing website. And without further ado, I'd like to ask Medea to come on the line. Medea, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Loud and clear. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Medea.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Before we start, Medea, I just want you to just tell us a little bit about Code Pink. I didn't even begin to tell people about the amazing bio of how you co-founded Code Pink and your years, over 30 years of work as a social justice activist. So if you could tell us a little bit about Code Pink, then we can go right on to the topic.
Sure. We started Code Pink right after 9/11 when we saw how the U.S. reaction was going to be one of escalating the cycle of violence, and really thought we were just going to do a couple of actions as a group of women coming together to say no to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. But it really took off, and it seemed like people all over the country wanted an outlet to be saying that there's got to be a better way. And we grew very quickly, and we have focused for the last 10 years now on trying to get our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan, stopping now the drone wars, trying to get our government to put our resources into what the people really need, like housing and education and health care, instead of this bloated military.
And, Medea, quickly, why is Code Pink aimed at women? It seems to be an organization of women for women, or am I reading that wrong?
Well, it was started by women, and it's initiated and led by women, but we are very open and welcoming to having men involved, and there are lots of men who are involved in Code Pink.
Okay. So getting on to our main topic, first of all, I wanted to talk about the undeclared, first of all, I guess we should talk about what is a drone. Maybe people don't even know what that is. After reading Fahrenheit 451 and having science fiction come to becoming true today with unarmed aircraft buzzing in the sky, can you tell us what a drone is and how it's being used right now?
Well, yeah, it's a good place to start because a lot of people don't realize that these are airplanes that don't have a pilot in the cockpit, that the pilot is can be thousands and thousands of miles away, and in the case of the lethal drones, they are being piloted from bases here in the United States to drop missiles on people in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan and Yemen and Somalia. But a drone is an unmanned aircraft, and they can be used for spying, which the majority of drones that the military has are used for spying. And they can also be by killing, and the killing program is done by both the military and the CIA, and it's scary how the CIA is getting more and more involved in what I call a mass killing spree that is not seen and rarely heard of by the American people.
And Medea, people think this is brand new, but this actually goes back to the Vietnam War, doesn't it?
Well, yes, drones were used for spying purposes, and they were really perfected and proliferated during the in the aftermath of 9/11. If you look at the number of drones that the Pentagon had in 2000, there were maybe 50 drones, and now it's estimated that there's about 7,500 drones. That's in the hands of the military, and then there's a separate drone fleet that the CIA has.
There's the issue, Bindia, of the use of drones somehow is played up in the press as being actually a technological miracle that saves people's lives because it's very targeted, their use for killing in other countries, and that there are no it limits civilian casualties, but there's some real discrepancy with that, especially in the government of Pakistan is really having a problem with the use of drones in their country and all the civilian casualties as a result of that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that's right, and I think the fact that there are no American lives at risk make it very convenient for the Obama administration. The drone strikes have gone up 85%. Of them have been done under the Obama administration. It's quite ironic that a constitutional lawyer would think it's okay to just come up with a hit list and be taking people out in countries that we are not at war with, where those governments say we shouldn't be using these, and we also can use them to take out Americans overseas.
Yeah, there's American in Yemen that was taken out without any due process.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was Anwar al-Awlaki. He was in the car with another American, and then 3 weeks later, his 16-year-old son, born in Denver, was killed by a drone strike. And the Attorney General says that that's okay because Americans are not guaranteed judicial process by the Constitution. They're only guaranteed due process. And I guess due process in this case is that you just come up with a hit list and it's okay. And in fact, to make it even scarier, when the head of the FBI was before Congress a couple of weeks ago, they asked, well, can drones be used to kill people here in the United States? And he said, I have to get back to you on that one. We're not quite sure.
Well, isn't that what the Attorney General said, that they could? I mean, basically, he's saying that we can do this.
Not only is he saying we can do this, we are doing this. And, you know, I think it's disgusting that he can violate the U.S. Constitution like that, but let's also just think of the Pakistanis and the Somalis and the Yemenis who are being killed with absolutely no due process either, no chance to surrender. The CIA and their program in Pakistan, for example, they said we're not killing any civilians. They basically say anybody we kill, they are a militant. Well, that's not what people in Pakistan are saying. And the best estimates are that about 800 civilians have been killed, 175 of them children. But there are others, like a Pakistani lawyer we're trying to get to the United States for the drone summit, who says that the majority of the 3,000 people who have been killed are innocent people. That in that northern part of Pakistan, the men walk around with guns all the time, and they're not out to get the United States. They have nothing to do with any imminent danger to the United States, and yet they're being killed by people in the U.S. And these are making more and more people hate us. And I think, Christina, you brought up the fact that the Pakistani government is outraged about it. Not only the head of state, but also the legislature. Duly elected legislature has twice voted, and the last time, only a couple of weeks ago, unanimously to say stop these drone strikes, and the CIA says, sorry, we're going to keep them going.
Not only that,
they want to expand them now further and ramp up the drone strikes in Yemen as well.
Is there any international law about drones? Is it in the Geneva Convention that you need to fight hand where you can see your opponent, or what kind of international rules are there about this?
It's interesting you bring that up, because what we are saying, and the broad we is people who are just questioning this program, is that the international law has not caught up with the new technology, and so there needs to be new kinds of international law. And some of the people that we're working with are scientists who understand where this robotic warfare is taking us, and say we need new rules of warfare now that take into account this new kind of technology that is just in its early stages. And they say, right now you think it's surreal to have a pilot thousands of miles away. What's going to happen when these are totally autonomous weapons? Talk about sci-fi come to reality. And there's no human in the loop at all, and that's why they're trying to get an international convention against lethal autonomous drones before they are used.
I'm wondering, too, since international law hasn't caught up, have the enemies of the United States caught up? Are they trying to block transmissions, to block the crash planes via airwaves? Can they interrupt the transmission of these radio-controlled signals to somehow crash the planes?
Yeah, you're asking all the great questions, and the Iranians say they did that, and that's how they got the spy plane, a very high-tech spy plane that they displayed to the world. And first the U.S. said, well, we weren't spying on them, and then finally had to admit, yeah, that's our spy plane, and we've been doing this for years now. Yes, they are developing ways to scramble these, and not only that, they're getting their own drones. And Iran has developed drones. They have supposedly given drones to Hezbollah. This technology is not like a nuclear weapon. This is technology is very easy to replicate. And in fact, the number one producer of drones in the world is the U.S., then the Israelis are second, then the Chinese. And there's an arms race now for drones, and over 50 countries have bought drones. Most of them are using them for surveillance purposes, but they can be very easily transferred to be lethal drones. So whether or not people care about who we are killing overseas, they should care about the backlash and drones coming home to haunt them.
Yeah, so how close are we to Star Wars Episode 2 or whatever it is with all those drones fighting each other?
Well, we're getting very close to it, and I don't think it's really going to be drones fighting each other so much as drones attacking people in their own countries. And we already have a case where there was a young man in the United States that was trying to use a souped-up model airplane with explosives on it to blow up the Pentagon. So, yes, this technology...
So, like it's easier and easier to use. You're saying you can do it at home now.
You can do it at home now, and certainly model airplanes have existed for a long time. But this technology now is getting easier and easier for just even individuals to get hold of.
Medea, this brings up the question now of national security and the use of drones, both for spying and for use in this country. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. There actually have only been about 300 permits that have been given out by the Federal Aviation Administration for the use of drones here at home, because they were very concerned about safety and airspace and drones crashing into the ground, drones crashing with commercial airliners, all kinds of things like that. But the drone industry is so big and so powerful right now that they have their own drone caucus in Congress. So imagine 50 Congress people think it's so important to help the industry proliferate the drones that they've formed their own drone caucus, and they've written legislation that was signed by President Obama on Valentine's Day, February 14th, a gift to the drone industry to say that the FAA must open up the U.S. airspace to drones by 2015, and even earlier than that for police and homeland security. So we're going to see very soon a scary scenario of police departments that have already been experimenting with drones, the Miami-Dade, in New York, the Border Patrol already has drones both on the Mexican and Canadian borders. But talk about proliferation. Every police department is going to want to get its hands on drones. And this issue of privacy, I mean, they have drones that not only can see everything from up above, but they can go into your window and see inside your house through the window.
There's a hummingbird drone, which is, what did they say, Samir? It's about a pound?
Yeah, it's a really lightweight. It's an exact hummingbird replica. It's about 2 pounds, I think it was.
Yeah.
Looks just like it.
Yeah, and they're even smaller. They have insect drones.
So it's going to be like you can go to your neighborhood spy store and buy like a little insect drone and then like look in your neighbor's window?
No, you can right now. You can actually go to your Brookstone store and buy a little, they're called parrot drones. I have one here. And right now you can use those drones.
Wait a second, you have a drone?
Oh, yeah, they only cost $350. You too can buy a drone.
Medea, what do you think about the commercial application here? I guess there's a company in California that wants to start a taco copter and deliver tacos by drones.
Yeah, that just ain't going to happen. You know, it was a great little PR stunt for the people who put it out, but that's far off. They haven't even figured out how to keep a taco warm from one point to the other, much less how you're going to have somebody who you're delivering a taco to not just take your drone. So there's all kinds of problems with that scenario. But you do bring up commercial uses. It's much more feasible to think of DHS and these other delivery systems using drones. And then what we started out this program talking about, I think, is how the industry is touting the humanitarian uses for drones, so fighting forest fires, going into the eyes of storms, going into the Fukushima nuclear power plant to test its level of contamination, helping in earthquake victims, those kinds of things. But let's remember that what is really powering this industry is the spying and killing that will be done by military and police force.
So it's not the technology in itself that we're having a problem with. Is this the use, the government use of this in undeclared wars? And but if this technology is can deliver a taco, why are civilians with these so-called targeted killings? Why are there so many civilian casualties? Are they just
first, let's remember they haven't delivered a taco yet.
Yeah.
And second, they can see a lot, but they can't distinguish features. They can't tell a man from a woman. They can't tell a guy just carrying a gun, because that's what they do in North Waziristan, from somebody who is trying to attack, who is part of the Taliban or part of Al-Qaeda. They can't tell a grenade from a pomegranate.
So in the United States, they couldn't tell somebody holding a baseball bat from somebody holding a gun.
Mm. Well, that's right. And they have several times tried to kill who they thought was Osama bin Laden, because it was a tall person, and it ended up that they were just, unfortunately, a tall person who got killed by mistake. So there's a lot of things that
So eventually, if you get all the tall people out of Pakistan, you'll get Osama bin Laden eventually.
Yeah, right. And since nobody is keeping track, and it really is just, you know, think for a second what arrogance of power the United States has that thinks that it can go around the world and kill anybody it wants to anywhere just because it can. Mm-hmm. And think of if any other country tried to do that, if Cuba tried to kill the terrorist Posada Carriles, who's been living in Miami after having downed a Cuban airliner, or if the Chinese tried to kill some of the Uyghurs who are living in the United States, or if the Iranians decided they were going to send their spy drone to spy on the U.S. here in our territory, you know, we just would not let it happen.
So Medea, what coming finally to what is it? How do we legislate or how do we control this thing? What are you calling for with this conference, the national conference in August?
No, it's right now. It's the weekend after this one. It's at the end of April. Okay. It's the first time bringing all these different groups of scientists and human rights people and legal folks and activists together. And we want to put our heads together and think, okay, what are we going to do about this? So the first day on Saturday will be live streamed to the public, so your listeners can go onto the codepink.org website and watch some of this.
Can we put it on the radio too, perhaps?
You know, it's being taped by the Pacifica stations. I don't know.
We're a Pacifica station too. We'll contact you about that.
Yeah, wonderful. And so that will be available. Anybody who wants to come and join us here in Washington, D.C., we'd love to have you. And the second day will be not for the public. It will be a strategy session. And we hope to come up with some good plans. I mean, some of them we know will be things like campaigns to try to get drones out of the hands of the CIA. If anybody's going to have drones, it should be the military, not the CIA. We want the activists to be able to talk about how they're going to ramp up their protests at Air Force bases. Students who want to get their universities out of the drone research business. I did mention this international convention about the use of lethal autonomous drones and how we're going to move that on the international front, how we're going to get our government to at least admit it has this drone program and be accountable to the victims. So there's all kinds of things. And then, of course, what are we going to do to influence the legislation around the use of drones here at home before it comes out in 2015?
And where can folks go for more information about all this?
Well, right now it's the codepink.org website, but we're setting up a separate one called droneswatch.org. And that should be available in a couple of days.
Medea, are you getting any response from the heads of other countries? Have you outreached to other social activists or civil society organizations in other countries, particularly in the Middle East, since that seems to be where we're targeting so many?
Well, we are working very closely with folks in Pakistan, and we have some people who have close contacts who are coming to the summit, like Jeremy Scahill just got back from Yemen and Somalia. Mm-hmm. We have folks coming from Europe for the summit, from Canada, and we also, not me personally, but other folks have been reaching out to militaries in other countries, like in France, where they don't want to see the proliferation of these drones, and trying to find allies within the militaries, and of course at the United Nations as well. So we're doing a lot of outreach, and I would also encourage people to get a copy of the book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, because it will give you a sense not only of who's producing these drones, where they're being used, who are the pilots, who are the victims, but it will give a sense of what is the resistance to drones, where is it coming from, and at least the beginnings of a plan of how can we make this more effective and stop this very scary world of drones that's taking us into a world of lawlessness and chaos.
Medea, you'll be speaking again on Sunday in Albany, and I can give that information out again. But you're also, I think, speaking to the Occupy Albany chapter. Is that so?
Yes, and we're doing a press conference with in front of Occupy Albany, and that'll be on Monday at 10 o'clock, and a strategy session with the folks from Occupy Albany. That will be great. That's at 5 o'clock. And for any of your listeners, I don't know if you expand to, if you have any folks from Syracuse, but I'm going to be there on Saturday with the Syracuse Peace Council.
And just before you leave, in general, how do you read right now where the anti-war movement stands in this country? I couldn't help but think while you were talking about drones about the fact that we still haven't eliminated mines, landmines, and landmine use. And I'm wondering what your take is on how we can move these issues forward, or if they can be moved forward. Are you feeling hopeful?
Well, there is an international convention against landmines, and it has done an amazing job of stopping the proliferation of landmines. And although the U.S. wouldn't sign onto it, the U.S. has stopped using landmines. Mm-hmm. And that's because landmines became such a negative in the eyes of the world that was even forced on the military here at home. And that's what we have to do in the case of drones. Unfortunately, right now, we have the majority of even liberal Democrats, according to a poll, saying that they thought these drones were fine to use in killing people overseas and even killing Americans. So that's one thing, is to really educate people about how bad these drones are. And then in terms of the state of the anti-war movement, I would say, to be honest, it's pretty miserable. You know, vibrant, huge, got hundreds of thousands of people out on the streets, and was, I think, one of the factors in Barack Obama getting elected. And then when he got elected, the anti-war movement just fell apart, with a lot of people thinking Barack Obama was going to get us out of these wars, and others feeling that the economic crisis was their priority. And for a number of different factors, the anti-war movement is really a shell of its former self. And while most of our troops have gotten out of Iraq, we still have lots of troops in Afghanistan. We have this proliferation of drones. We have still the hundreds and hundreds of U.S. bases overseas, a bloated Pentagon that is taking the money that we so desperately need here at home, and a possibility of a war with Iran.
Right.
So we don't have a movement that's up for the job, and we have to start bringing the anti-war issues into the Occupy movement in a more integral way, and just show how they are both so intertwined, mm-hmm. that we will never get the kind of social justice programs here at home if we keep spending our money on the military. The military distorts the economy. It fosters racism, sexism, anti-immigrant views. It's an excuse to curtail our civil liberties at home. It continues the dependence on foreign fuels because the military is the biggest user of both. So I would say there's all kinds of reasons for us to be more integrated into the Occupy movement. And hopefully in the spring and the summer months, and with the conventions coming up and the NATO summit in Chicago, we'll be able to rebuild a peace movement that is part of an Occupy movement.
Well, Medea Benjamin, thank you so much for joining us here at WGXC. We will continue to follow this issue, and I will tell people again that this Sunday you will be speaking at the Emerson Hall, 405 Washington Avenue, Albany, at the First Universalist Unitarian Society of Albany. And for more information on that, that's the number is 518-463-7135. You can also go online at the station, and we'll post more information about that. And it's from 11:45 to 1 p.m. And the book, again, is Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, Medea Benjamin, Code Pink. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And I want to say thank you to Ms. Medea Benjamin for joining us on the afternoon show. A little bit of music before we get into the media minutes.